Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. On a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Going to talk to our pal John Keim now. John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. How many years have you now been on the beat, John?
I think this is my 31st season.
Oh, my God.
31 years, so a little bit longer than the Junkies.
Only a couple.
I told my wife one Super Bowl run and I'm out. So here I am 31 years later.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, it feels familiar. Even though it's a different story, it feels familiar.
Yeah.
One thing we were kicking around was the lack of passing really beyond 10 yards, right?
Right.
He took a couple of deep shots, but there was nothing intermediate, seven passes behind the line of scrimmage. And we were trying to figure out, is that, and it's probably a combination, but I want to get your take, was that Kingsbury's offense? Is that Jaden not seeing guys downfield? Is it receivers not getting open?
Well, so that's one thing that is on my list of things when I'm rewatching today, right? Because you don't – sometimes it's hard without the – to see are they getting open or not. Now, it didn't look like there was a lot of separation a lot of times. There were a couple times, for example, where I think it was like a he had like a 9-yard run. It was like a third down, and it was like third and long or something like that. But there were a couple guys open. There was like McCaffrey's running down the seam. I don't know if he gets it to him, but the pressure was right there, right? Like, I think Wiley let up some pressure on that one. And so sometimes there were plays that were, okay, maybe, and then the pressure was there, so you don't have time. I also wonder about the separation as well, because – this isn't like when you watch Tampa, there's just a different with the depth of the receivers they have and the ability to get open and the ability to threaten. And I didn't, you know, these guys don't have that. They have, I mean, McLaurin got open on the deep one, but they didn't target him that much. So I think some of that, certainly some of the behind the line stuff was a combination, you know, a result of, they're getting a lot of pressure early, right? And they knew they were going to attack him with that. So I think it's give him an easy answer. And then if you're going to attack against that defense and they're blitzing, then a good way to do that is also hit some big plays because they're going to give you some one-on-ones. But they just weren't there except for the one.
John, I feel like the number two wideout spot is going to be an aggregate of Eckler yes. and Ertz at this point.
Correct.
Like, do you feel that too?
I felt that going in because I think, and this is where, that's where like I thought Ertz, and I still think Ertz will be, play a bigger role for Daniels. And I think Eckler will as well. Like you saw the run he had after the catch. Like that was, that was kind of what he had done with the Chargers before last year, before the ankle sprain. So yes, I agree with you. Because I think if you're looking for Daniels, the security blankets are going to be those two, and they give you, he gives you good, or they give him good outlets. But also because we don't know like who is there, they've been clear that each of these other receivers offer them something, which I agree with. But is it enough to game in, game out have a consistent number two? I don't see that. So I do agree with you. I think the number two targets would be like Eckler, Ertz. And maybe even B-Rob.
Following up on that, do you think we see Noah Brown active next week against the Giants? It's kind of early to tell, but what's your best guess there?
I don't know, and I will also say, you know, when they signed him, excuse me, some people felt like, he's not a number two. Like that's not what he has been. He's been a good backup who is a good special team, really good special teams player, and does a lot of things for you. I think the hard part to know then is if he's active, who isn't? Because you have Crowder is the punt returner. You know, then it's McCaffrey, Diami, and Zacchaeus, and all of them play more role on offense right now. But one thing that you also know is then they don't have this is a bigger target. And I think there were a couple times where it felt like, you know, you you have, if you have size, you still have to be able to get open and run routes, right? We all know that. But they don't have anybody with that size to threaten them as a receiver. So, you know, and he gives you a little bit more than that, but not like he's a big guy. But I don't – so, but I really don't know that he would be active, because then it's, like I said, who is not? And then if, you know – If Jameson's going to be a punt returner, he's going to always be active.
John, moving to the other side of the ball, the Buccaneers punted one time.
Yeah.
But I want to get specific, because I didn't notice this during the game, but I did a post-game show with Craig Hoffman, and he said Forbes was benched. Can you fill us in on Emmanuel Forbes?
Well, I don't know if he was benched or hurt, but yes, I saw that too. And well, let me say this. Coincidentally, it would occur after a couple of rough series.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I say that, because he did go back in the game after the first time he came out, and then after the game, he went into the x-ray room. But like Dan Quinn said, that it wasn't anything really big, right? So I don't know. I mean, again, the play warranted that, right? I mean, so whether it was the injury or whatever, it was coincided with him coming out after some rough series. And, you know, so
what, John, I listened to your pod on the way in. I always do. And we share a similar brain. Unfortunately for you, I had a lot of the same observations. I thought Frankie Louvu was virtually, I'm a little ruder than you. I'm a little more
crude. Was he invisible?
I thought he was virtually invisible.
I didn't feel him.
I felt Jamin more, frankly. And it's not like Jamin was some massive impact.
Right. No, but he did a nice job when he was in.
Yeah, I thought so too. Very disappointed in the interior of the line, although they had penetration and they were there. They didn't close the deal. And then, I don't know, man, it's been about a year and a half since I felt like we can really consistently stuff the run up there. I feel like even though the numbers don't show it, I felt like we were getting gutted right up the middle.
Yes. No, I felt like they were able to, because if you're getting 4 and 5 yards a time, like, that's a good run game, because you're always putting yourself ahead of the sticks, right? And so I felt like Tampa Bay was able to do that very well. And the hard part with the pass rush, and I agree with you, like, I didn't feel the presence of guys that you need to feel, the tackles, and Louvu, because that's why. And I still think that guy's going to be pretty good. Like, you watch him last year. I won't write him off.
Right.
Right. But, you know, for the first game, no. And, but with the pass rush, one thing with Mayfield too, he's listed at 6 foot. I think that might be stretching a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing when you'd watch him last year with the sacks and any picks, it's always a confined pocket. And I felt like they had too big a gaps on their pass rushes and where it consistently let him out. So, you know, if you'd watch the sacks last year, it's like it's pinch, starts to move up, but it's so tight that somebody's able to get him. And they just didn't have that ability. And some of that, I wonder, because, you know, we'd always hear last year about the undisciplined pass rush and the freelancing. Well, I didn't feel like it was that, but I do wonder about the cohesion of it, because it's not like this group has worked together a lot in games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Like, that's one of the things that with this, the way teams do preseason and the practices and all that, you don't get the same simulation that you would in the past. And I think that's something that still has to come along, because to me, like, the ends are not dynamic, but they weren't meant to. They have the pass rushers inside. Those guys are going to be the ones that have to provide that with Frankie Louvu.
Right. Let's talk about the coaching a little bit. And again, I'll be ruder than you. but like, I didn't understand some of Quinn's decisions, frankly. I didn't know why we were bleeding the clock at the end of the first half. I'm thinking, all right, they're either going to score or they're not, so let's use a timeout right here, right? And
right. And
I didn't understand the bleeding of that. It made no sense to me. I'm sure they had some logic. I didn't get it. And then I didn't understand some of – listen, I'm not a big go for it on every fourth down, but we got a kicking situation here, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. And then – I just don't know what makes Cliff Kingsbury's – I'm just ignorant. I don't know what makes his offense special. I didn't see anything special. I didn't see the up-tempo stuff. I felt like I was promised, and I just didn't see special creativity. I don't know. It was a blah for me. At least there was some balance. I felt like maybe they were hyper-focused on protecting, and maybe that's why there wasn't some more stuff developing sort of in the middle of the field and downfield. I don't know. But I just didn't see anything special from the offense other than Jaden's extraordinary ability.
Right, and I would say, like, for the up-tempo stuff, because that's one thing that we have heard, right, and mm-hmm. that they'd be a lot of up-tempo. I do think when you're giving up third downs on defense and keeping the defense is staying on the field, I think the offense has to be cognizant of that.
Okay.
And if you go up-tempo, you're putting a defense that is getting hit hard back on the field. Mm-hmm. And so you know what I mean? So like mm-hmm. that, and I don't know that that's the reason, but when I'm watching, I'm like, well, that makes sense to me. Right. Yeah. Because, and it's also like 80 some degrees, it's humid, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So if you're not picking up if you're not in this rhythm, then it's hard to do that. But I thought there'd be more. I still think there'll be more. There were sometimes you'd see some of the run game creativity with the way they had Eckler and Robinson in the backfield together and like an I formation split off
mm-hmm.
that, you know, got some yards, and you see some of the action of it, like, okay, you can mm-hmm. see that. I just felt like they had zero rhythm. And then part of it is, it's just like any other year. If you're not converting on third downs and you're giving up third, you're not going to have the ability to extend your mm-hmm. what you want to do. But I think that's all it's up to question, because we don't know. This is one game. We were
right.
told this, mm-hmm. we heard this, and then this is the only game we have to judge by. So there's not a, well, you know, in other games they've done this. We don't know. And so I think that's, you have to wait. I think the other one was the 2-point conversion, not going for it then. And you know, Dan Quinn said that, and they're very, very big on analytics, as we know. And they have
are?
Someone,
okay.
the game management stuff. Oh, they're huge with it, way more than before, but they have a game management guy in the ear about telling them when to go for it or when not to, and they didn't. But that was one where I felt like, you know.
What about going for the 56-yarder at that point?
Yeah.
Like, well, what's the chart say on that? I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, I think that's all fair, and I think there are a couple times with that where you could try and do that, because you do have a kid who can make plays with his legs.
Right.
And that always helps, right? That always gives you that other option in those situations. But the York one, I mean, he's very inconsistent and has been. The one thing he does have is a big leg. And so, you know, if he's there, you know, like, you know, but the problem is he's 1 for 3. And this is what he's done in his career. So I think
that's going to be an issue the rest of the year.
Caleb York, the charts show impossible when you look at it.
Hey, JK, let me ask you about getting back to Daniels. So he rushed 16 times. I realized the bulk of those were when he was forced out of the pocket.
Right.
But the last thing Kingsbury and Quinn want is him to run 16 times. So do you think that they're going to deliberately try and scale that back next week against the Giants?
Well, I think the hard part is the scrambles, because you can't – it's hard to scale back that.
Yeah.
I think that's like – so, yes, I would agree with you. He's not going to be able to – you don't want your quarterback running that many times. And now he did a good job of avoiding the hits, but all it takes is a couple. We saw one yesterday where – you know, it's fortunate that he wasn't knocked out of the game on the helmet-to-helmet hit, right? So you want, and I think for those, you have to create situations. You need guys to get open, and you need to protect, because those are the ways that you can mitigate that. He's not a guy that, I mean, he was always described as a passer who can run. Well, yesterday he had to run a lot, and so you need him to be a passer. That's supposed to be the difference for him compared to others, and I believe that based on watching in practice, based on watching him in college. Yes, he can run, but he wants to pass, and so that's how you can mitigate that. I mean, there were a couple designed runs, and maybe you can do a few less of those if it's a situation where he's running a lot, but you don't want him running that many times a game, no. Absolutely.
The good thing is you get the Giants next week at home. And Daniel Jones was terrible again. Daniel Jones is just he's a bad quarterback.
Yes, he is.
So you get them, but who knows what the offense is going to look like with
right.
Washington.
This is the start of a regime, and this is, there's been so much turnover and all that. So I get all that, and I, you know, that's, you take that into account. But this is a big game. It's a home game. It's Daniel's first home game. But it's also against a team that you continuously struggle to beat that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is one where it's like you – and I, you know, it's always like this is going to be a year about measuring sticks and like where are they at with things. Do they compete? Do they do this and that? And if you do, or if you are that kind of team, you bounce back and have a good showing. Because you're right. Like the Giants are not very good. The problem that I have with the Giants is they have a couple pass rushers and, you know, mm-hmm. on the edges, and I think that's going to be a problem. That's something they have to deal with for sure. But, yes, you cannot let Daniel Jones beat you again. And because I think if you want to show fans it's different, go beat the Giants. You know, that you have to take care of business in the NFC East. I don't care where you're at in your development. You have to do that. I mean, there's a long – like, I didn't – the thing I kept saying all summer was, like, I think long term I like what they're building. Short term, you don't know where they're at. And I think there's still a lot of uncertainty about some areas. Some areas, you know, cornerback play you were concerned with, and it's got to get better. You know, will it? So, you know, but yeah, you've got to take care of business Sunday.
Yeah, all right, John.
Win that game.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Dan Quinn said that Mondays are to tell the truth. Mondays, we're going to come back and tell the truth about this Commanders team and take your calls at 800-636-1067.
For us, we'll have plenty, you know, as we get into Wednesday and Thursday and Friday on to New York, but Monday and Tuesday is about us and getting our game exactly right. That's what Tell the Truth Monday is for, to own it, say it, teach it, and go through it.
All right, it's head coach Dan Quinn calling it to Tell the Truth Monday. Here it's a Misery Monday brought to you by Chenika Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers.mios.com. All right, let's tell some truth. EB, you were high on the weapons. I think you're now, you've come around. The truth is their receivers aren't good enough.
I'm not willing to completely give up on them. I'm honestly not. I think that part of it was, I'll be defensive here until proven otherwise. I think part of it was a fairly conservative game plan by Kliff. But yeah, I mean, they didn't stand out. Oz looked way better in the preseason. He did nothing. They basically didn't play Diami on offense. And, you know, we distinguished ourselves zero in the passing game. Now, I'm not blaming Jaden. I think he's going to be a star. If you want to quibble with me, fine. I think he's going to be a star. So what do I think? To tell the truth, offense sucked overall. The defensive line had penetration but couldn't make a tackle. The corners are just dreadful.
Cakes, tell the truth.
Okay.
If you had to do it over again,
yes,
and go through the schedule,
yeah,
you would not have them at 10 wins.
Truth.
Probably yeah. 100% truth.
After seeing, I thought that there would be some defensive improvement. They've either stayed the same and or gotten worse through one game.
Yeah.
Through against a pretty good offense. Now, they're not going to face Mike Evans and Chris Godwin every week, thankfully.
That might be one of the better teams, even though I disrespect the Bucs. They play great. They totally deserve the win.
They're the Bucs.
Yeah, of course. I will always say that. But they dominated us. Who cares?
They're pretty much better at every position.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. They won the football game. But do I think we could never? I mean, maybe we could never beat them. But they dominated us. Fair. But I don't think every team is like that.
Could never beat them with
still like their schedule
with the current iteration of the secondary. It's impossible with St. Juice and Forbes.
But it's a combination of the secondary and lack of pass rush. Because if you have a good pass rush, that can mask a weak secondary.
Look, I'm not calling.
I thought we did.
The pass rush was okay. They just could
from the middle. You're looking for the pass rush from the
ends. He dropped back 30 times. Cakes was hit twice.
They couldn't finish.
He was hit twice.
I don't know what you were looking at.
The pressure was okay.
They flushed him a bunch.
A couple times. Not a bunch. There was a lot of times he went back, planted his feet, nobody around him, and threw a downfield strike. Happened over and over again.
He also used.
But he was also flushed.
He also used Rashad White in the screen game and Bucky Irving, too.
Really well.
Used them perfectly.
That caught Washington off guard.
They had 3 to 5 whiffs that could have been sacks.
I agree with
you. All right, here's my truth.
You have to finish those plays.
Here's my truth. They have to beat the Giants.
Must win.
Because you're facing Daniel Jones.
Must win in week two.
You're not facing a Mayfield, and Mayfield's no Hall of Famer, but he's better than Daniel Jones. And you're not facing two legit receivers on the outside.
You're facing one. Right.
But Daniel Jones was terrible yesterday. You got a home opener. They got to play better, not just offensively, but certainly defensively against the Giants.
So Daniel Jones threw the pick six to Van Ginkel. And that was kind of a fluky play because he's throwing a quick pass. But I don't think it's fluky that he was hit 12 times.
Yeah.
He was sacked 5 times. Their offensive line stinks. Their quarterback's not good.
By the way, Joe Shane is in
trouble.
He's in the worst shambles ever.
He's in trouble.
Saquon dropped a nuke bomb on Green Bay in Brazil.
Right.
And then the Giants looked terrible in week one.
Yes.
He is the most down bad guy on the planet.
Yeah, and you go back to that scene from Hard Knocks where The owner came in there with his arms folded. He's like, I just hate to lose him to a division rival.
There are a billion memes of that on the internet right now, JP. There's a billion of them.
I know.
You know who needs to tell the truth is Adam Peters. Don't say recalibrate. This is a rebuild. The team's bad.
I think it's more Quinn saying to recalibrate is
well, someone over there, too? Someone over there needs to just call it what it is. Right. The team sucks. No talent.
Well, if I had my druthers, that could go. Look, if they lose to the Giants,
this is a complete.
If they lose to the Giants, the season's going
to
go.
If they lose to the Giants,
downhill.
They'll be in contention for the number one pick.
Hey Valdez, tell the truth.
To lose the Giants
because didn't you flip flop? Like you said that I put the screws to you, and then you picked a record for the Commanders, and then the next day you came back and said, "I've recalibrated."
You know, I was sold snake oil.
Yeah,
I think everyone's overreacting a little bit. The game was brutal, no doubt. The bright spot was Jaden, in my opinion. But guys, they could still win 7 or 8 games. I don't see why we're going crazy here. We got smoked yesterday, but we've gotten smoked many times before and played well the next week. Marty Schottenheimer started out 0-5. Joe Gibbs started out 0-5. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win Super Bowls. Marty's team just went 8-8, but you can adjust, get better.
Of course.
Like, it's one game. We got smoked. Tip your cap. They're better. Beat us in all phases.
I agree with that.
But let's not get crazy. We still have bad corners. We still have mediocre receivers, but that's fine.
I'm getting crazy.
You're getting crazy after one game. You're getting crazy after one game.
I think it's warranted.
And I'm not going there yet.
I'm not getting crazy yet, but
I'm not going there yet.
If they lose to
the Giants,
yes,
who are abysmal, then I'll be in that
Titanic week two.
I can't do that yet, but I
expect them to go to the playoffs. They're not going to the playoffs. This team's not going to the playoffs.
I'm not making grand proclamations yet.
Okay, I'll make it.
Eric,
but let me just tell you this. If they lose to the Giants, this season is going to tank.
I'm not going to. It's
almost a must win.
Not going to be results oriented. What if the passing game looks amazing and offense looks great and they just, because our defense is so bad.
And they lose 31-30?
Yeah, then are you going to still bail on the team?
I would be surprised if the defense gave up that many points to this bad Giants.
Well, I think the defense is by far the weak
spot. I think it is, but it'll play better.
Although Kingsbury did not distinguish himself. You're under my microscope, buddy.
Well, you know,
to Valdez's
point, you're giving up on him already.
To Valdez's point, they don't have enough talent. And I think if you look at the offseason moves, they're pretty telling that Dorrance Armstrong, Farrell, Fowler, all these guys, they got short-term deals. They were just Band-Aids. They gutted the roster, filled it up with guys that aren't going to be here long-term. It's a rebuild. Absolutely. Yeah, everybody knew that.
A lot of these guys are auditioning. They're looking at them thinking, will they be part of the future in 2 or 3 years when hopefully we've actually built something here?
None of those
guys
are going
to be. For the most part, no. They're not going to be here. A lot of these guys are placeholders.
Correct. All right, let's bang out the calls. Let's go to Dennis in Reston. Hey, Dennis, what's up, buddy? Tell the truth Monday here on the Jones.
Good morning, guys. Misery Monday. Let me think. Where do I want to start? I'll make it real quick because I know there's a lot of people on the line. The two things that stuck out to me the most, actually three things. Two of them are names, and three, and the third thing is just something that we kept doing. Our tackling is just awful. And at first I thought
I was disappointed.
Good, but I started watching more and more. Just nothing but arm tackling. Just guys missing tackles. That's right. One tackle, two tackles, three tackles on one play missed. Okay, now I'm going to go on next. And I've said it. I don't even know how many times I've said this name to you guys. Emmanuel Forbes has to go. And along with that, St. Juice also. St. Juice, he's terrible. He gets burned all the time. And I'm not saying that. Listen, the guy.
I saw St. Juice afterwards.
Next week, Daniel Jones is going to come in here. And I know Daniel Jones didn't have a good game yesterday, but he'll come and he'll play better next week. And they're going to put their best receivers on Manuel Forbes and St. Juice, and they're going to beat us like a drum.
Well, not if Forbes is benched and doesn't play.
Thank you, Dennis.
Which is entirely possible.
You guys have a good day. Thanks.
I saw St. Juice.
Dennis was pissed.
A really long quote about what happened, and he was very defensive, saying that they were in good positions, but they just had some miscommunication. How many times have we heard about miscommunication problems in the secondary?
Well, there was a miscommunication on McMillan's touchdown, too. Yeah. Something happened there. I don't know if that was...
Well, he couldn't have been more open.
I don't know if that was Quan Martin or... I can't remember.
He just got released.
I thought Quan Martin distinguished himself, kind of cleaning up the mess.
Yeah.
But overall, the corners were dreadful. F minus overall. True. That's, I think, true. Let's go to Matt. Matt, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Great show, as usual.
What's up?
Hey, QB will be fine if he stays healthy.
I agree.
Not big into doing the Dougie when you're getting pummeled in the end zone, but Dan Quinn, that's a problem. You guys are going to see, I mean, that's probably why the Cowboys weren't so, you know, concerned about him leaving. No discipline.
Their defense looked pretty good yesterday without Dan Quinn.
West Coast defenses.
Well, Zimmer's a good defense.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch what Zimmer did with that defense. Same defense yesterday. They pummeled the Browns.
Honed them. Honed them real good. In Cleveland.
Well, Deshaun Watson's awful. He's an awful quarterback.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst contracts you'll ever see.
Well, Cakes had a great line.
I think it's the worst contract ever handed out in sports history.
No, say the line that you saw online that somebody said.
Oh, I saw online somebody said, Deshaun Watson, as we knew him, died on the massage table.
Yeah.
Because the guy you're seeing is not
his
the Deshaun Watson.
Died on the massage
table. Yeah, just like dead.
What was he out? Like he was three out two seasons? I mean, I don't know.
It's over.
I thought two, but maybe it was
if you're
two
Kevin
and a half.
Stefanski, you have to go in with your coaches and say, we really have to think about starting Jameis Winston going forward. And I know that's not the greatest option, but he's better right now.
You want your quarterback to throw 20
Deshaun
picks.
Deshaun Watson.
His QBR was a 9.4.
Yeah, it was awful. There was bad quarterback play all across the league.
Daniel Jones is better, and he was
barely.
Terrible.
So Daniel Jones had a 17 QB rate.
So my dog, we had guests in. We had an amazing weekend. Cornell went 2-1. We swept Navy.
Nice.
We swept Liberty. UC San Diego got the better of us. But so I didn't, and I barely got home in time for the game. I don't know exactly what Jones did that was so brutal. Give me the update. Zero touchdowns, two pickles. I mean, I saw stats.
No impact in the rushing game.
Did he have catastrophic plays that are, like, laughable, that are going to be
iconic? The pick six is bad. It's kind of tough. Like, he basically dropped back and threw a quick, essentially, wide receiver screen that the linebacker made a great play on.
Mm-hmm.
The second interception, I can't remember.
He was getting booed by the New York Moops, leaving and getting into his car.
He completed 50% of his passes.
Right.
And he turned the ball over twice.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. He's not very good.
And they scored 6 points.
All right, let's go to Steve in Alexandria. Steve, what's up, buddy? To tell the truth here. Misery Monday.
Truth is, boys, the roster's poo. Ron destroyed this team with his terrible drafting. Emmanuel Forbes got two penalties on one play. I don't even recall that ever happening.
I know that was so brutal.
Yes. That. Mm-hmm. I mean, just it's unbelievable how Ron destroyed this team. And Quinn and Peters are left to pick up the pieces. I mean, what else were they going to do? I mean, we're like an expansion team
right
now.
No, it's a massive rebuild.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. But where Quinn could have impacted the game, I guess he's listening to his analytics guy in the headset, but I thought there were just some shaky decisions.
It didn't jump out at me.
The worst decision
about hemorrhaging the clock at the end of the first half.
Come on. Like, how come Jonathan Allen couldn't finish, you know, the pressure they were getting on the quarterback?
They were getting pressure from the interior, and they didn't close the deal. JP doesn't like to admit 100%. It because he wants it to all 100%. Come from the ends.
I just don't think they got much pressure at all.
More often than not, he was not pressured.
I was watching the entire game.
They pressured, now I'm not going to say throughout, but they put enough pressure on Baker where they could have sacked him 3 or 4 times easily. Maybe five times. They just couldn't finish plays throughout the game.
They look like fools. It's unbelievable. Baker's not really a mobile quarterback. Like, are you joking?
No, he's mobile.
He's shifty. Every third down, he was throwing the ball, would get out of it. Third and long, third and five, third and 11, third and 10. They would get the first down, so they would score touchdowns.
The Godwin pickup, weren't they like third
Thanks,
and 16
buddy.
Or
Thanks,
third
Steve.
And 17?
Yeah, that was
huge.
That
was just mind-blowing. Where he just dumps it off, and then Godwin gets like 13 yards of yak, weaves his way through the defense and picks up a first down.
I mean, you could talk about pressure, but I'm watching Mike Evans' touchdown. He drops back, five-step drop, boop. Touchdown.
Okay, we're not Look saying every one. Play, well, but we're saying there's four or
the
five.
The majority
left out
of
there.
The plays, he was not pressured.
Okay, but if you make
he
those
was
four
hit,
or five tackles.
He was hit two times in 30 dropbacks.
Listen, you
guys are blind.
No, we're not blind. You're blind. If they make four or five sacks, then they punt, and then none of that stuff happens.
He couldn't have been more comfortable.
He was pressured. They couldn't close the deal.
Yeah.
He would be surrounded by three or four guys, and he squirts out and picks up the first down.
I'm not saying it's like lucky or anything. They sucked. They didn't close the deal. It's on us. Let's go
you
to
guys suck. You know who's flying under the radar? Joe Witt Jr.
Not on my radar. No.
Gave up almost 40.
Mediocre.
You're in the crosshairs, too.
Oh, big time.
Jason Bishop.
You guys are giving up on the coaching staff after one game.
Jason Bishop.
I'm not giving up.
But
they're under the microscope.
Yep. You're alarmed.
Oh, my God. I'm alarmed.
Yeah.
Jason Bishop, just look at this play. Are you telling me Baker's pressured here? Look at this.
He just won't stop.
You don't listen.
Not there.
There are a couple of plays, but the vast majority he was not pressured.
Five or six where he was flushed and he made a play that he should have been sacked on.
Can somebody who knows how to cut up video please send us a montage of all the times that Baker...
How would you grade this prolific pass rush?
I didn't say the pass rush is amazing. I've never been in that camp. I know it's mediocre, but when guys are getting there, when they're within a yard and a half, and they have their hands on Baker, you got to bring
him
down.
They had their hands on him twice.
They had their hands on him more than twice. Or they were within
grabbing distance. Dude, he was surrounded by burgundy and gold or whatever the hell colors they were wearing, and he got through him.
Give props to Mayfield.
I do.
Totally played
out of his mind. He played great.
He never looked uncomfortable.
He played great, and we saw
a slightly above average quarterback had a great day against a bad defense, in my opinion.
All right, coming up next, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Don't go anywhere.
All right, guys, what's it going to take to get Thompson Creek windows in your home this fall? Well, huge savings. You're in luck. Thompson Creek Windows keep your energy bills in check while keeping you toasty all winter long. I'm talking big savings. 50% off, as in 50. Yep. First ever Thompson Creek Window Fest. Call Thompson Creek now to save 50%. Buy one window, get one 50% off, plus special finance options and a 50-year guarantee. Do what I did. Call 855-57-CREEK or visit thompsoncreek.com.
Welcome back on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Mios, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Before we get to the Junkies Blitz, we have a Giants fan on the line that wants to chime in.
All right.
Maybe we're disrespecting the Giants too much.
I'd love to hear his take on getting pwned by Sam Darnold yesterday.
Trust me, I got a Giants fan on my phone.
Hey, it's Vinny Jones. Yeah. We love
crushing
Daniel
the
Jones.
Giants.
Although
believe
they love
me.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, we love that guy.
No, he told me his patience with Jones is starting to
You guys are all wrong about Daniel Jones.
Right.
I know. We know.
Right. We're wrong for 4 years.
Can't wait to hear this guy defend Daniel Jones.
All right.
Andy,
what's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm not going to defend Daniel Jones, but let me just tell you this. One, let me knock you off your freaking high horse. When was the last time he beat us? Okay? And two, you know, let's not talk about Sam Darnold. I'll give you two names, and you tell me what you think about this. Tyrod Taylor and freaking Tommy Cutlets. We beat you with our backup and our third stringer.
Hold on. Those were Ron coach teams. They're much better coach now.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What did you do for your defense? What did you do for your defense that's going to make you better this year that you can beat our crappy quarterback, Daniel Jones? He's the only thing that he's better than Baker Mayfield in is he's mobile. You have no pass rush. Your secondary is suspect. We have no quarterback.
I'm not guaranteeing a victory against the Giants. You think I'm doing that after what I watched yesterday? You're
over.
Crazy.
No, dude. Look at you got to listen like this. It's like, why are you thinking this? Hey, are the Giants thinking if we don't beat the crappy Commanders who we've owned repeatedly over the years, our season's over? So why do you think you guys are so much better than the Giants? Prove it to me.
Hold on.
They're not so much better.
Nobody in this room. You think
believe me, it's the last thing we think is they're so much better.
I think they're.
I said it's a must win.
I expect to finish with more wins than you, sorry.
I think they both stink.
Andy, you need to call in next Monday.
Stop.
No matter what.
Stop.
I will.
I'll
give you the prediction. We'll beat you guys 3-2 because that's how crappy we are.
Hold on.
I'll bet you that we finished with more wins than you, even though our defense is atrocious. My offensive coordinator sucks. My defensive coordinator is non-distinguished.
The entire coach said, now you want to fire
but
the entire
I
staff.
I still think we'll have more wins than you.
All right. Here we go. I'll take you up on the bet. I think we'll win two more games than you. And I'll take that.
The only two Venmo games we me, win, right? Whatever you want. Yeah.
Right.
Venmo me whatever right. you want.
But you got to front the money.
Front the money. That'll be the bet.
All right. Sounds good, man. I'll send it to you.
All right. Okay. All see right. you, buddy. See
yeah. All right. Time now.
You know what? He ain't sending it to you because he doesn't feel that confident.
Time now for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture.
Well, the game you got to start with is, you know.
Well, I'm not going to start with the game. I'm doing something a little different this year.
Okay, all right.
What did we learn over the weekend? Number one, this goes hand in hand with Jaden Daniels. Rookie quarterbacks are going to struggle.
Generally,
Caleb Williams, QBR, 22.2.
He threw for
93 yards. He did get a win, and he should have had a touchdown pass to Keenan Allen. He dropped
it. The Titans are massive choking dogs, is what they are.
Bo Nix. He had 42 dropbacks. Think about that. 42 dropbacks. He threw for 132 yards. Had two picks. And then Jaden Daniels, QBR 41.8. He did run for 88 yards. Rookie quarterback's going to struggle. We know this. Number two, Will Levis is a donkey.
Second-year quarterback struggle.
Will Levis is a moron.
He's a massive Donkey Kong is what he is.
That might have been the worst pick six interception I've ever seen.
It was so stupid.
Did you see him put his hands on his head?
Yeah, he went like this.
He saw his knees. He saw the Bears defender streaking down the sideline.
He handed them the game.
Yeah.
The Titans, we just mentioned Caleb Williams. Didn't even throw for 100 yards. The Bears had no business winning that game. They're losing 17-0.
Yep.
Midway through the fourth quarter, it's 17-16. Levis gets flushed to his left. Basically an inch from contacting the ground, and he throws a backhanded flip.
Had no shot at being completed. None. Zero.
He made pick six, game over.
He made a bad situation worse. Just eat the sack there. Don't throw it to the other team, please. And you can possibly win the game.
This was a terrible offensive game.
It was bad.
I only watched about a quarter of it. When I was watching, it was terrible.
What else did we learn over the weekend? Cakes mentioned it. The Saquon Barkley edition for the Eagles. Massive.
He was the superstar. He running behind Drabby, a really good offensive line.
Drabby, when T. Higgins got, when we were talking about the touchdown parlay.
Yeah.
When we did it on Friday, I wanted to go Saquon, but I didn't want him to be blanked on a Friday night.
Yeah.
At least I wanted to have a sweat on a Sunday.
You got it.
What was I doing?
A triple.
24 carries, 109 yards.
He's going to have 15 or more touchdowns this year.
Two touchdowns rushing. He also had two catches for 23 yards and touchdowns. So three touchdowns. Footnote, Jordan Love sprained his MCL. Luckily, he didn't tear his ACL.
Yeah,
so
he's going to be out 4 or 5 weeks.
Packers going to be in trouble.
I mean, Malik Willis is going to step in. That's very dicey.
They got to go somewhere
else. They're going to be on the horn. Maybe like a Ryan Tannehill gets a call.
That's the name that they're throwing
somebody
out.
Somebody like that.
What else did we learn over the weekend? Anthony Richardson has an unbelievable arm, but C.J. Stroud has a better team.
Yeah, I mean, Richardson with, I think, 212 passing yards, also chipped in.
On nine completions, Cakes.
I know. I mean, he was ripping the ball downfield to Alec Pierce.
He had three long bombs, runs it in. He's a fantasy monster.
Alec Pierce, three catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown.
But you look at what C.J. Stroud did.
Yeah.
Picked up where he left off, connected with Diggs a couple times in the end zone. Diggs was unhappy after the first drive.
Yeah, Mixon had a bomb
dude,
game.
Diggs is a malcontent.
Well, he's just
I know a, he's a turf.
He's a diva.
I love him. But he's a malcontent.
He's always been that way.
Yeah, Mixon, 30 carries. 3-0.
What else did we learn? Carolina still stinks.
They are.
They are atrocious.
They are painful for your retinas to watch. They're horrendous. I thought Dave Canales is going to come in and fix Bryce Young, improve the offense. Didn't really see it at least in week one.
That was an embarrassment.
Maybe
Bryce Young's not going to last much longer.
Maybe Buffalo's window hasn't closed.
Yeah.
Because they still have Josh Allen. Josh Allen, 2 touchdown passes. His QBR was 90. He also ran for 2 touchdowns. They may not have the weapons, but he's Josh Allen.
And on the other side,
he won the
Marvin
game for
Harrison
him.
Jr. with a massive dud in his debut. 1 catch for 4 yards on just 3 targets.
What are they doing?
I don't know. If you're the OC in Arizona, is it Drew Petting or Petzing? I'm not sure exactly his name. People say I'm like his doppelganger if I shaved my beard. Well, he needs to go in and target the guy they picked at the top of the draft.
You can't lose a 17-3 lead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got to add to that.
Couple other things we learned. Steelers defense pretty good. Picked off Kirk Cousins twice. Poor Justin Kirk. Fields, fair. They're going to be a tough team to watch, but they'll probably be above 500 because it's Boswell, Mike Tomlin.
Boswell hit 6 field goals.
And
6.
2 of them were long, like in their mid-50s.
He's the anti-Cade York.
But see, this is the reason Fields played better than fair, because he didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And he actually made some really big throws at key times.
I mean,
his overall numbers weren't great, but he was part of the win.
Well,
and
yeah,
the fact that he wasn't turning the ball over like he always does, that was huge for them.
If you throw for 156 and rush for 57 and take care of the ball, you can win a ball game.
And Cousins was bad.
Yep.
Coming up next, Circa Survivor Sports Debacle. We tackle that next here on the Junkies.